Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. I almost said Tuesday because I didn't have a show Tuesday, so this is the first show of the week. My apologies. This is episode number 278 of Shut Up and Grind with your host, yours truly, Robert B. Foster. So I have a returning guest today. She was on probably about maybe 2 years ago now. And I remember our episode, I remember our conversation, I remember the golden nuggets that she dropped, and she is back to drop some more. So today we're going to be talking about the conversations that you have with yourself, or the conversations that you need to have with yourself. And this is a tough thing for some people to swallow, because it's very easy to point the fingers at the stresses of life as to why you're being held back. But in most cases, it's how you're responding to those stressors that are happening in your life. So before I bring Ron and we dive in, if you're brand new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, and helping you clear whatever's blocking your path to whatever success you're looking to have. So helping me have this conversation is Shelley Simpson. Welcome back.
It's so good to be back. I can't wait to hear what you remember from our last conversation. I did not go back and look at notes. I didn't. I just wanted to be fresh. And you're looking well and happy and purposeful as always.
Gotta be, you know, as the host, I gotta bring the fire, right? Have to, regardless of what's happening out there. All right, so give us a quick refresher about your background and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, this is my fourth career. And it's kind of a combination of everything. I was a teacher initially, still a teacher in my soul. I think that's really the calling. And went to law school. I practiced law. I went into health policy in DC, made my way to New York City, found out that I was not a bureaucrat, and went into business for myself. And it has been a joy and a pleasure to be an entrepreneur and to have people like you who help us in that role, because you're an entrepreneur, but more than that, because you really do support the community of people who want to make a difference. But when you're in it by yourself, sometimes it can feel like you are by yourself, and you've created a community for us. So thank you.
Very, very true. And my pleasure. Yeah, it's like when people talk to me about entrepreneurship, I have to be upfront. You know, like we were talking before we went live about honesty. I was like, I actually suck at the business part. It's like I'm really good at the connection piece, you know, the connection piece. I can talk people through marketing, branding, and all the other stuff. But then, like, I had a business coach with my fitness business, and he, like, we'd have check-in calls every week. And all the businessy stuff, like, I would make him pull his hair out. Because he's like, you know, what was your close percentage last week? I'm like, I don't know. You know, what was your cost per whatever on your Facebook ads? I don't know. I was like, but I know Tracy climbed the rope for the first time. So-and-so did 10 push-ups unbroken. So-and-so took 2 minutes off of their 5K time. You know, so like that people part is what drives me. And I think that's why I know that's why I love doing these podcasts and meeting people like yourself.
Well, it's interesting because I don't even, people talk about Q1, Q2, Q3. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I went to law school, but it wasn't business focused. Yeah. And I know how to run a business. I know how to build a business, but business is people. So that's why we have accountants, and that's why we have the people to do the numbers. That's why I like the franchise as opposed to having to do all that back stuff myself. It's the people. There are a lot of people who go into business and they're really good at the number crunching and they're really good at all that, but they're not good with people.
Yep. I worked with some of them.
Oh man, they need someone up front. They need the rainmaker because that's not their strong point. For me, it's all about the people.
Yes. Like I worked with a couple of business partners when I opened up my standalone gym facility. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how that was. Well, there were two of them. One was just all business all the time, just all business. He could not, I don't want to say he couldn't care less about the, I won't go that far, but he was definitely about the numbers first. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I'm a very heart-centered person. So like all of my energies went into the people. So it worked until it didn't, because, you know, business partnerships don't always end well. And this one wasn't any different, but just how that ties into the topic you know, that, that were going into, I had to do some serious soul searching, you know, like, am I going to become someone that I'm not to just make money, you know, because like, that's basically what one of them wanted me to do. It's like, oh, we should do this and we should do this. I'm like, but that's not me. Like, I don't want to do that. It's like, but it can be profitable. I said, but I don't want to do that. You know, and so I had to really dig down deep. So what's something that you went through where you had to have that deep conversation with yourself?
Oh, it's an ongoing process. This inner conversation is something I noticed was taking place, that the conversation that I was having with myself was the important one. Prepping myself before I went and had a conversation with someone else. As we were talking about earlier, people pitch us, they tell us what we need.
Yes.
And then they try to sell it to us. And I realized that my process was asking myself, is that what I need? Is where am I now? Having the checkup from the neck up regularly. And then in talking to other people, they would come to me and they would be stuck and they wouldn't know what, like, what do I say? I'm going to call so-and-so. What do I say? And I'm like, you're talking human to human. What do you mean? What do you say? What would you tell yourself? What do you mean? It's like, well, don't you ask yourself first? Like, and the answer was usually no, they hadn't thought about it.
Yes.
And so for me, the crucial conversation is with myself. It is asking myself, where am I now? Where do I want to go? How is this going to get me there? Do I want to do this podcast? There would have been a time when I would say, no. I don't do that. That's not my thing. I'm nervous. And then it's like, what are you nervous about? How are you going to reach people if you don't talk to people? This is about you and Robert. This isn't about you. And so if I can create that conversation in myself and say, you know what, Shelley, this isn't about you. This is about the other person. What are you giving to them? What's your value added? What are you offering? And I start to answer those questions. It makes talking to people so much easier. And, you know, if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right, but you never know until you dig in. You've got to dig in and figure it out.
And that's with every industry. That's with every facet of life. Like when people come to me for fitness, I don't sell them fitness. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't sell them on fitness at all. I'm like, what brings you here?
Yeah.
You know, and why? How will that help you? How will that benefit you? You know, how badly do you want to do this? So like, but before we even talk about picking up weights or swinging kettlebells, it's like, I got to get that story first. Because most people, just on the surface, they just want to look better. Like that's 90% of why they come. But my thing is, why don't you look good enough now?
And why? Why do you want to look better? What does better mean? You can assume that I go to the gym for a reason that you have no clue. Maybe I go to the gym because I have an hour to kill and I got nothing better to do. Or I go to the gym because it's social. Or I want to feel better in my body. I'm not necessarily looking to, you know, swing kettlebells around. I'm looking for, you know, if you ask me the question and I answer it honestly, we have a conversation. And I think many people forget that, first of all, the human psychology is people do more for what they want than what they need. So we have to figure out what it is they want. We know what they need. You and I know they need exercise. They need conditioning. They need good nutrition. They need a lot of things.
Yes.
Are they willing to, do they want it? And then give them a conversation, not a presentation, because presentation builds resistance and we want them in. We don't want them to walk away and say, no, I don't get it.
Yeah. And the other side to that too, is I always say, what don't you want?
Yeah.
It's like, what is not serving you? Because what you don't want is actually going to drive your actions more so than, I know with people saying, what's your why? And, you know, your why is definitely important. Like, I'm not trying to counter that point. But it's like, if you're on fire, you want somebody to come and put the fire out.
Right.
Right. It's like you just want that fire out. You don't care if it's an extinguisher. You don't care if it's water. You don't care if you get wrapped in a blanket. Just put out the damn fire. Right. Exactly. So like that's cause that and that's effect. Right. So when people transfer this into their everyday life, and I find this a lot more so with women, is especially women that have kids, is they think because they have kids, all of their wants go to the back burner.
Mm.
And helping to reprogram that. So do you find that a lot with people that you work with?
I find that sometimes people don't even notice they're on fire.
Yeah.
And so, and I can't tell them they're on fire because they have to know. And again, it goes back to the conversation. If I ask enough questions, how do you feel? What's going on with you? I get the feeling that you're hesitant to do this. What's going on? Mm. And if you really come out and be honest with people and say, look, I can't help you if I don't know what you want, if I don't know what your needs are. So tell me, talk to me. And if what I have is a fit for you, fine. If not, I will help you get what it is that you need and what you want. Keep it open for them to download. And I think you're right about, I think anyone who's parenting, men maybe, and I don't know how to think like a guy, even though I have two grown sons and two grandsons, I think very often the result is the same. Women feel they need to put their health and their well-being on the back burner because of all the responsibilities, because now they're a mom. And yet they want to look good, they want to be attractive, they want to be healthy, but it's almost selfish to take the time. Men are at the other side of that, where they're the breadwinner and they have to do this. And if they give time to their own wellness, somehow they're not being the dad. Mm. So it's the same result, but a different reason, maybe. And I think very often parents, and if I look back, what I would do differently was really say, we need time for ourselves, not the date night. People do that. Like, they'll make the date night to keep the relationship, but the relationship's only as good as the people in it.
Yes.
And we have to make sure that our other person is taking care of themselves physically and mentally and spiritually.
Yeah, I actually had a relationship coach on last Thursday, and she delved into that. So, for anyone listening, if you want more on that relationship piece, yeah, tune back into last Friday's episode, because she broke it down beautifully. You know, it's like I thought I'd do a pretty good job talking about relationships and stuff, but obviously she's a relationship expert. It's like she broke it down.
And it's interesting because I always see things, even friendships and business relationships, like you talked about earlier. There are it's a three-piece system. You have each party and then the thing, and they all have to be healthy. They all have to be working together. So if there's a breakdown in one part of that, then it's not going to work. And both people are feeding the relationship. And when one stops feeding it, there's a problem. And I think it really goes to that conversation. And one of the things that I've tried to do, that I've developed, is what I call, it's called the ICON method, the inner compass, the inner conversation method of talking to yourself as though you're someone else. You're in relationship with yourself. And really getting down to the, you know, grinding in, as you would say, shut up and grind. I'm saying talk and grind, and find out what your motivation is. Not just the, you know, why. Well, I want flexibility. I want money. I want security. Well, okay, great. Why? What's it going to do for you? How is it going to make you feel? What if you don't get it? What if you try and fail? Okay, you know, how's that going to feel? And really uncover it, so that you can then go find the solution. That's where to get we all need coaches, all kinds of coaches and mentors, but to get the right one, you have to know yourself, because they can't do it for you.
Absolutely. I want to backtrack a bit to what you mentioned about being selfish. Uh-huh. Because that, like, I've actually done multiple videos on that topic because, you know, I've worked with thousands of women over the years, like thousands. So, like, I don't want to say I've heard it all because every now and then they throw me something I haven't heard before, but I've heard a lot. But that word has come up so many times. We were talking about prioritizing your health. Like, I just want you to dive in your words a little deeper on your thoughts on selfishness.
Selfish is good. Because, again, you are part of every relationship you're in. Yeah. Your relationship is only as healthy as you are. So if you're in relationship with yourself, and maybe it's just we're raised to think we have to, you know, sharing or being selfish. It's not binary. Mm-hmm. You can take care of yourself and be selfish about your well-being and then give more and should be able to share more. And so when I think of being selfish, it's about making myself a priority, not instead of someone else, but in relationship to someone else. So for me, you know, nutrition, exercise, they're key. That goes on my schedule before anything else. Yeah. Everything filters in around that. And so I have time for other things, but I cannot be a good partner in business or in life. I can't even be a good cat mom if I'm not playing full out. And so I think being selfish is looking at yourself and saying, what do I need? And that helps when someone is coming and wanting more from you than you might be able to give at the moment, to be able to stop, give yourself grace and say, you know what, not today, but tomorrow, or when after I take a power nap, or, you know, after I do whatever I have to do for myself, I'll be there for you. Again, back to the honesty. Yeah. Sometimes I just don't have the time or the energy to do something that someone else wants. If I force it, that's not serving me or them. It's more a matter of give me time. Let me do what I have to do, and then I'll come back around for you.
Yeah, that too. And it's creating boundaries. Like I always say, self-care, self-love, self-confidence, self-esteem, mm-hmm. self-awareness, like it all starts with self, you know? And just like you said, you can't take care of anyone else if you're crumbling on the inside.
Exactly.
You just can't. And we see it time and time again. And then people reach that boiling point.
It builds resentment. It really builds resentment and resistance. And I see that in business where people feel they have to be working all the time. This is the, you know, when for entrepreneurs, on the one hand, people think, you know, you have complete freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Yep. Okay, because you run your show, it's your business. Well, you have to be the best in your organization. So you get up, get dressed and go to work every single day. Yeah. On the other hand, people think that they have to be busy in their business all the time. Always working, no time off, because everything hinges on that next thing. And again, then there's no time for you, and you are your business. You know, what makes us unique is us. And so you have to be at the top of your game. And that means being well-nourished, being exercised, being rested, being confident. You said self-confident and self-awareness are two things. And I work with a confidence coach, Sarah Godbut, who's amazing. And she coaches confidence. And we talk all the time about where does that come from? It comes from doing things. Yeah. It comes from playing full out and growing in yourself, but you have to be self-aware. Confidence isn't being the loudest in the room. It's being the one with the biggest presence maybe in the room. Quiet.
See, the way I reframe, let's go back to Katie's comment here. You know, the way I reframe selfish is I tell people, like, I'm not selfish. Like, I'm the example. Like, that's what it is. Like, I'm the example. It's like, I do the things that I do to let other people know it can be done. Yeah. It's like, I'm just as busy as anyone out there. Yep. And I make sure I get I get my steps in each day, make sure I get my workout in, mm-hmm. like regardless of what's going on. Like I remember being in the airport, walking laps around the airport because my drop dead minimum is 10,000 steps a day. Although I shoot for between 15 and 20, but to just simply say, you know, well, I was traveling all day. Okay. So while you're traveling, do what you can do to get your steps in. And yep. like, I always hit at least 10,000. I can't say always, because sometimes I'll go on long bike rides. So mm-hmm. if I go on, you know, a couple hour bike yeah. ride, then I'll give myself some slack on the steps. But just the point is just to show people it can be done. It's so easy to say, I'm busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. But that doesn't inspire anyone to say, right. I had to do all of this and I still rock this.
We you know, have to be inspiring. The example. We have to, you know, people watch what we do, not necessarily what we say we're going to do. And the yeah. things, you know, I've heard it said, the things that are easy to do are easy not to do. Yeah. For me, getting up, even if I go for a walk, if I'm traveling, I have been known to drop down and do my push-ups in the airport. Mm-hmm. You find a little corner and you do them, because if I don't, and then I sit on a plane, I'm not fit. I'm like really not fit for anything. And yeah. for me, that's part of my life. And you can make excuses or you can make a difference. That's the bottom line.
It's true. So like how would you respond to this? Because, you know, it's been so ingrained in our culture to grind, grind, grind. Taking time for self-care is so important. You can't grind if you're if you're breaking down. So I know we touched on that yeah. a couple minutes ago, but the ingrained in our culture part, because, you know, society has a stronghold on some people. So how do you help people break free from that?
You take out the calendar. That's how I live. I have a paper calendar and then my phone. Yeah. And you look at your day. And you look at what, you know, the big rocks, you put in the things that must get done. If you have kids, it's a little different. I don't have little kids, so I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But you look at how many hours. We all have the same 24/7. Yep. And then you go back to, what do you want? What's the quality of life you want? What are you willing to do? I run. I don't expect everybody to run. But walking is good. Taking the steps, that's not that much harder. Nutrition, it's just as easy to grab, you know, some almonds as it is to grab a Big Mac or something. You know, it's like you make your choices and people will look and they'll say, well, I'm not like you. Okay. But you're like you. What do you want?
Exactly.
And what's going to make you happy? And taking a day off. And yes, it depends on the culture. One of the blessings I have is that I don't work from Friday at 5 until most of Saturday because I'm at services. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's a space, it's a bubble. And I appreciate that, but we can carve it out. You look at your calendar and you put a big ME on it. That's me. That's my time. It could be 6 a.m. It could be 7 a.m. It could be 2 in the afternoon.
Yep, absolutely.
You know what? I will also say,
go ahead.
Who cares what other people think?
Yeah, it okay? is.
What they think is none of our business. So if people say you need to work 7 days a week or you need to work 5 days a week and you need to get up at 6 a.m., I work with people who get up at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Okay. They think I'm crazy. I don't know how they do what they do. Who cares? It works for us. And yep. And that's the way it is. And if people think that working 24/7 is the thing to do, let them do it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work for me.
See, and that's key, because too many times people try to emulate other people. Mm-hmm. It just like even in fitness, I'm constantly telling people, don't look at the person next to you. You know, don't look at the person next to you. Focus on you and focus on your goals. The yeah. fact that you can only do a push-up and a half and the person next to you can do 20, that's none of your business. It's like we're working on you. So you're doing 1.5. We're going to focus on getting you to 2. Then when you get to 2, we're going to focus on getting you to 3. It's like, don't worry about how fast somebody else can run, how high they can jump, or how much they can deadlift. Like, that's none of your business. And it's the same thing in everyday life. Like, don't worry about what cars this one's driving, what house this one lives in, or how big their business has grown. You're on day one. Let's focus on day one and baby steps to get you where you want to be.
Don't you love the people who tell you they can help you 10x your business, they can 50x your business, they can 100x? They don't even know what your business is. Yeah. For some people, they're like,
exactly.
10x of nothing is still nothing.
Yep.
People tell us what they want us to hear. It's on us to listen for what we want to hear. And I heard this a long time ago, the fastest way to lose a race is to look to the side.
Yep.
Because you missed that step. And I know what you mean in the gym, because sometimes I look over and I see people much younger than I am. And I'm like, oh my God, that'll never happen again. But this is what I got now, you know, and I cannot let myself, because it's so easy to say, well, I'm not going to look like her, so I might as well go home.
Exactly. Yeah. See, and then she just put up another one. You know, when you're doing it to compete with someone else, it's not as sustainable because you're not doing it for you. And that's 100% true. And I also want to touch on what you just said too. You know, looking at someone doing something, you're like, oh, that's not for me anymore. I mean, my whole training has completely changed from when I was in my mid-20s. You know, completely. Like, I don't try to bench press for like maximum weight anymore. I'll put like 85 pounds on the bar and I'll do sets of 30. You know, it's like deadlift. How much can you deadlift? I have no idea. I have no idea. It's like I don't need to. I'm going to be 49 in a couple of months. It's like, I don't need to be lifting 500. Like, my joints don't need that at this stage in the game.
Yeah. It's like the running. You know, I noticed that where I used to really push and I would do 7-8 miles. And when just the last couple of years, that just seemed like too many miles for me. I just didn't enjoy the last two. Yeah. So I stay at that 6-7 and I'm exhausted, but I feel good because that, and then I talk to people that are like, you go that long? Like, yeah, because I built to it. I didn't start there.
Exactly.
And then I know people who, I have a very good friend of mine who's a running coach, and she's done 110 marathons and she's 41.
Wow.
It's like, it's a lot of marathons.
Yes.
But she set a goal and she did it. That's not for me. I don't get psychic pleasure out of that. I get the pleasure out of being out in nature. I get the pleasure. I get more of a thrill of running when it's like 2 degrees out than I do going a long distance when it's 70. It's just the fact that I will lace up and go out in like freezing cold weather and do something that challenges me. And I think that's, you know, when people ask me why I do it, it's because I can. But it is a conversation. Again, I have it with myself. Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it? Because I don't always talk about it. You're making me talk about stuff I didn't talk about before. I don't. It's not to impress people, but it's to impress upon people. You can do what you want to do if you're determined to do it. So if you want to run and you run a mile, That's a win.
Exactly.
If you want to walk and you walk a mile, that's a win. Because it's about you. It's selfish. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. See, and I just want to address, I still fight through the pain. It just looks different now. Right? Yeah, and this is like, oh, I remember him too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm more likely to get a bruised ego. You know, like I tripped the other day, I fell. It happens like once a year, I'll be out running and I'll lose like my concentration and I see it coming and there's nothing, like nothing you can do as that ground comes up.
True.
And so I drop down and you know, I do a quick assessment and there's always someone coming over to help. I'm like, no, I'm okay. And I realized, yeah, I skinned the palm of my hand. I got a bump on my hip, but it's my ego that hurts the most. It's like, because I fell down. Oh my.
See, and that's the ultimate metaphor of life. Cause people are so afraid about being embarrassed, but when you fell, was anybody laughing at you?
No,
like, people came to help.
They came to help. And this one guy, he goes, I can't believe you just popped right back up. I said, well, am I going to stay down there?
Exactly.
I
mean,
if I stayed down, I wouldn't be here.
It's like getting
popping up.
Yes, I was going to say getting knocked down is a given. Like everyone, it doesn't matter how successful you are or anything in between. Like, you're going to get knocked down. It's just a matter of when and how you respond to it.
If you haven't, any of the listeners, if you haven't been knocked down yet, hang on, because it's coming. You're doing stuff. It's going to come.
I mean, looking at, like, my main demographics is, I think it's like 30 to 65. Uh-huh. So anyone in that bracket, you've been knocked down already. It's definitely happened. Maybe you haven't shared your story yet, but you've been knocked down. But go ahead.
Think about it. You know, ask yourself, because if you want to check on yourself, check your resilience. Everyone has overcome every challenge they've ever had. And if you think you haven't had one, ask something, because I can't imagine getting to 30 without being challenged.
Yeah,
without an obstacle.
To your point, like, when I'm helping people with story creation,
uh-huh,
you'll be surprised the things that I drag out of people. It's like people have been through things that they didn't even realize was a thing, just because it's normal everyday life when we're going through it. It's like we don't even realize that there's actually something a lot bigger there. It's kind of fascinating.
It is, because some of us, I think there are people who do what they're expected to do and then don't stop to take credit for doing it. Mm. Because again, just like selfish, we're not supposed to take credit. We're not supposed to brag on ourselves. We're not supposed to, you know, pat ourselves on the back. Well, if not us, who's going to do it? You know, it's like,
exactly,
you're the closest one. Give yourself a pat on the back.
It's funny. I did my panel on Saturday, and one of the guys was saying, he's like, well, I don't want to brag. And I cut him off. I said, stop it right there. I said, you brag, damn it. You brag. You let people know how good you are. Like, there is nothing wrong with that, especially in the business world. It's like, I'm not going to want to work with you if you're unsure that you can get me results. Right? Well, I want you to be like, I'm the best in my space.
If you're bringing something to the community, if you're bringing value, if you have something that's going to help someone and they don't know about it, or they don't know that you're the one who can bring it, they're not going to get it. And then you won't have helped anyone. So, you know, if you weren't out there talking about what you do, then I wouldn't be able to get the benefit of you showcasing me so that I can help the people I help. We're good at what we do. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that you have to feel that way, or why would someone come? Why would they want what you have if you don't feel that you're good at it?
Exactly. I was a guest on a different show, and this person was just like all nervous because I didn't send her any info. And she's like, I was like, listen, I'm an open book. I said, all of my stories are dialed in. I'm like, I'm a speaker. Like, this is what I do. Like, all of my stories are dialed in. And she's like, all right, well, do you want to just send me a couple questions just in case? I'm like, trust me, you're not going to have a problem with me. You know, and even though she was nervous, she liked the fact that I brought that level of confidence. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're not going to stump me. Like, there's no, I got your questions. Like, I will talk about anything that's going on in my life, good, bad, or ugly. Like, so whatever you want to ask me, ask me.
Yeah. Our life is there for other people.
Yes.
That's how I look at it. And I've said before, you know, my journey should be the shortcut for someone else. No
Bingo.
One should have to go through the stuff the same way I did. They're all going to go through it. We're all going to go through, you know, all kinds of different things. But if someone can give you a map, so you have a shortcut to get through it, why not?
And that's what a coach does. Like, I'm taking all the times I screwed up and learn from it and put together a program so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that we know everything. It's like, no, we don't know everything. I've just fallen on my face enough times to where I've built up experience and resilience.
Well, and then we share that confidence is contagious. The resilience can be learned, so that it doesn't, we're not done. I guarantee I will face other things in the future. But I know I believe I will overcome them because I have overcome. And if we can teach other people that they will overcome their obstacles as well, they will approach them differently. You can't live in fear. A fear-based existence is too small.
Yeah, it's too exhausting.
It's too exhausting.
You know, to just not take any action out of something that might happen. And I always say, you know, take the action and what you want might happen. Like, don't worry about what you don't want happening.
But what you focus on gets bigger. So if you focus on what you don't want, that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I was having this talk with my daughter just a couple of days ago. The exact same thing. I'm like, what you focus on is what you're going to get. You're going to will it right to you. Yeah. And it was like, I got to leave in a couple minutes because I coach track. But I was talking with one of the athletes yesterday. He's a high jumper. And he keeps saying, you know, coach, he's like, I keep knocking down the bar. I'm like, because you're afraid. You're afraid, like with every jump. I mean, he's only a freshman, so he's still
looking
learning.
At the bar. He's seeing the bar instead of seeing the space over it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I said, when you plant to jump, your eyes should be on the sky.
Yep.
I was like, you should not be looking at the bar. I'm like, that's why you keep hitting the bar. You know,
and there's this idea, this go for no in sales, and I reject it completely. I know people talk about it.
Yeah.
I always envision the success, but I'm ready. I'm ready for objections. Yeah. I have answers, or I can find answers, but I'm always expecting the success. I'm expecting to get over the bar.
Yes.
And that way, if I fall a little bit short, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I can't focus on everything that could go wrong or people saying no or nah, not for me.
Yeah. And then going back to what you said, then I'll give you the last word about stop worrying about what other people think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you got to start living for you. If you're a parent, you live in for you first and foremost.
Yep.
If you're married, your spouse is next, then the kids. And if you don't believe me, again, go back and listen to my episode with Monica. She breaks down that dynamic. Like if you want to be able to go far, you got to prioritize in that order. And then you're going to see that your life is going to flow. Because going back to what I said about being the example, you know, it's like my kids see me doing the things that I want to do. It's like I don't back burner anything. Like if I want to do something and if I can feasibly get there, I'm going. If I can include them into it, I can. If I can't, I'm still going. and they see that. Like, and I want them to see as you get older, do not put yourself in a box. Because we think other people put us in the box. No, we put ourselves in the box.
100%.
We just allow other people to watch us do it.
Absolutely. I love it. This is so, it's always wonderful speaking with you. And, you know, if anything, people can take away from us that anything can be overcome if you're focusing on the overcoming. You want better health, you want better physical condition, you want better finances, you want whatever it is you want, focus on that. Don't let the other stuff get in the way and just stay focused, just go there and always look for the people, for the helpers, but help yourself first.
Absolutely. It's like breaking a bone, even though I've never broken one, but I've broken enough joints.
Yeah,
so
I know.
it's like healing from surgery. You know, it's like, you know, you're not going to heal in a day or two.
Right.
It's a process. And sometimes that process is painful, you know, and so many people don't want to face the pain of the circumstances. Like, you know, if you're in a toxic relationship and trying to get out of it, you're thinking of all the things that could go wrong if I decide to end this relationship. And now I know there are some psychos out there. And, you know, so
there's only a few.
Yeah, you know,
they move around.
But it's like you got to look at how is your life being impacted by staying, you know, or just even in a toxic job. You know, you're at this place, it might pay well, but the boss treats you like crap. You know, they're overworking you, they're undervaluing you. And it's like it's more exhausting to deal with that day in and day out for year after year after year.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know what, I'd rather be doing XYZ and then just go do it. I mean, like, I tripped into fitness, you know, coming out of the restaurant industry. Tripped right into this.
Yeah, it dropped on my lap. And then, then you have to make something out of it. And, and if I could take any idea and, like, plug it into people's minds, it's talk to yourself, find out what you want, decide what you're willing to do, and then do the thing you need to do to get there. And the helpers will come, and they'll travel with you. Don't waste your time on all the negativity. Don't waste your time on worrying about all the bad things that could happen, because life is full of all goodness. You just have to go out and grab it for yourself.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So like I said, I do got to run because my athletes are waiting for me. This was great. This was great as always. Usually I do a hard out at 2:30, but we were just flowing. So, you know,
I could talk to you forever, but I won't. I'll let you go. Likewise. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you again and talking with you over and over. I love it. Thank you, Robert.
Awesome. Likewise. All right. Take care. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and